So you're ready to ask the biggest question of your life, the only question before that question. How do you find the perfect ring to ask it with? With the incredible selection of diamonds at Jared and our price match guarantee, you can dare to stop searching and find the perfect diamond at a price you'll love. Visit your local Jared store today and dare to be devoted.
We promise to match any price on a like loose certified diamond of the same quality from any other jewelry retailer. See jared.com/pricematch for details.
Cheer bomb. We are strong. We are powerful. We are cheerleaders. And now, here are your hosts, Marcus and Marisol.
Hello, Marcus.
Good Monday, Marisol.
Happy Monday. What a beautiful Monday it is.
I know.
The weather is confused here in North Carolina.
I don't even know what... Hold on, let's check it real quick.
It looks like it's about 70 degrees outside.
It's 65.
Oh, see? Who knew?
It's about 70 in the Prius, though.
Yeah. It's getting hotter by the second. All right. So we have some people to thank. Start off, I need to give a huge shout out to Sean, the producer guy. He has just been amazing. He's been a friend of mine since my first podcast. I'm about to hit him up for a second and third and fourth. So I need to send him big, big thank yous. Sean, the producer guy.
Thanks.
I want to thank Tanya and Sharita for last week's episode.
Yes.
Am I allowed to say that was lit? Or am I going to get like embarrassed?
Is Lola going to listen?
Yes.
Okay.
She's going to be embarrassed.
Lola, stop listening like 20 seconds ago and then come back right now.
That was awesome. I had so much fun. I listened to it again, which I don't normally do after it's been published. Mm-hmm. I listened to it to come up with the show notes. I listened to it in editing. So I usually am sick of it by the time it's published, so I don't listen to it again. But I did listen to it again, and I was so impressed with us. Yeah. How did we talk about all those things in 1 hour?
Wild.
It was crazy.
So much to talk about. And then there's more. I didn't realize it, but that was like the perfect episode to start this month.
Oh, yeah. Black History Month.
Yes.
The whole thing, I mean, I know I get kind of woo-woo with the whole, you know, but I was watching R. Kelly, the documentary. I wanted to talk to Ton. You know, it was really weird how it all happened. And when I listened to it again, I just felt like, that was meant to happen.
It was.
From that moment, from me watching R. Kelly to saying all the things I said, which it's not like I walk around town saying these things, you know, but it came from a place that was very authentic for me. So, and I didn't get anything but positive feedback at all.
So, and you shouldn't. It's your podcast. Say what you want.
True that. did you watch the football? What's the Super Bowl? That football thing.
The what?
That thingy.
Oh, the Maroon 5 concert? I'm just kidding. No. No, I didn't. I honestly forgot that it was a Super Bowl until yesterday, like around noon. And I was like, oh, I have to go to the grocery store, so that's going to be a mess. That's when I found out.
I used to pretend to be interested in football when I was married. And this is totally not a dig on anyone but myself. Like, I faked it through high school, college, and post, you know.
There's no faking here.
20s. I felt like it was something that, you know, people in my circle were really involved with. Mm-hmm. You know, fantasy football. I was in fantasy football
league. You did fantasy football?
I did a fantasy football with my son. So I was in it, right? So could not give a rat's butt about it. Like, it just was not... The sound of football makes me sleepy. I only went to two games at Florida State in the 90s when it was, like, you know, national championship stuff. Football just makes me sleepy. It's so slow. There's...
really? Even, like, being there? Like, I can't watch it on television. I have to, like, actually, like, be there.
Being there is, for me, more painful because it's so stop and go, stop and go, stop and go. Like, I don't know. I'm not a fan, but luckily we don't have a football podcast.
I've never been a huge like football person. When we lived in New York, my dad would get like tickets to see like the Giants and stuff.
Yeah.
And like we would go. But I mean, like, I thought about this last night. I feel like I should start getting into football because it's like the only, like one of the only sports I can like really understand. Like, I know what's, dang it, ish. I kind of know what's going on. So I guess I kind of could follow it. Like, I was looking at the screen and I was like, okay, I know what those numbers are. I know what that is.
Well, it was one of the things when I did finally get divorced that, like, the new version of me was like, if I don't really love something, I'm not going to give my energy to it anymore. And I never saw another football game again. I just, you know, I don't do it.
But congratulations to the Patriots.
Again, apparently.
No, but I saw a meme earlier that was like, I'd be so mad if I paid $3,000+ to see a Maroon 5 concert with a field goal. I was like, oh, wow. But I heard there was a lot of stuff on social media about how, like, I guess, like, boring it was.
Yeah. Even before the game started, I found the whole thing. But I like the meme. Did you see the meme that...
Kanye?
Yeah. We put up a funny meme where Kanye was... When he did that to Taylor Swift and said... But it said... All right, I'll give you the Super Bowl, but we'll be back for Worlds. I like that. So I wanted to thank Tanya and Charita. That was an awesome podcast. Perfect, again, like you said, for Black History Month. And, you know, I appreciate everyone's feedback, the birthday wishes. We got a lot. I wanted to post them all. You know, people do. I didn't. I just... There was just too much.
Yeah.
The thing
it was a wild weekend.
It was a wild week. There's a lot going on with our social media, our downloads. Everything's up, 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 up. And I have some questions for our amazing, another person to thank is our intern, Kennedy.
Yes.
Holy moly, cannoli.
Yeah, she's insane.
She's awesome.
She's brilliant.
She's run some campaigns for us that have increased our numbers, and she's wonderful. And I have some questions for her, so I'm going to put them on this week's podcast, give her a week to think about it, and then hopefully we'll have her on next week to discuss. I have questions about social media etiquette. Tagging people. Like, I don't, like, let's say I see, for example, you know, our stats are organic. They move up and down. So, like, I think Bethany posted something. I think she had done like ask me questions or something.
Yeah.
And it was me who had said something like, or thank you for being on the podcast or something. But she had then showed a picture of herself in the shirt, said I had a great time doing it or something. Boom. She put that on her story. Her numbers go up. So, but I don't really tag people in. I've done it a few times and I've always felt uncomfortable. Like if I have an ad to run to show all the great guests we've had, I don't tag all of them because I don't want to annoy them.
I mean, it's a tag. They get tagged all the time.
So, that was my question for Kennedy. Should I tag them every single time I...
Yeah, because, like, it's not like we do it, like, multiple times a day.
No. Like, I'm talking once or twice a season. Yeah. Okay. Because everyone's numbers are jumping up. Every time any of the previous guests shares, you know, anything about Cheer Mom, their numbers go up. So, you know, if you're competitive... And then the sharing, I assume if a guest comes on the podcast that they're going to share that they were on the podcast. Is that like expected or should I ask for shares? Should I be like, hey, Tanya, I hear you got some kids with some huge followings. You think you can throw me a, you know, what do you call it? A tag, a share.
Promotion.
There's these.
I like that word, promotion.
These are questions I want to ask Kennedy. Like, what's the proper... Because she seems to know the game incredibly well. And I want to know how she gets in on these giveaways. Because I would love to... we've participated in several.
Yeah.
But never managed anything like the one she's managing. And then I want to... Excuse me. I want to thank the new listeners because
y'all are getting wild.
Did I send you the one about the emojis?
No.
Oh, so, you know, we're getting all these new heavy downloads from the past. So someone, I'll send it to you. They sent me a DM, a screenshot. I don't know what, but it was saying, we're desperately looking for these emojis to buy them and we can't find them. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
A couple of months.
They're gone. They're gone.
Yeah.
But, you know, in a few years.
Maybe
we'll have a new set of emojis for
when
you.
When we have our own artist drawing them out.
Yeah.
Because it's not me. You can use my picture again. But my toe touch was lopsided, so was his toe touch.
But speaking of things that are running out, our Cheer Bomb shirts.
Yes.
We are running out of... I'm calling them Series 1. I don't know why.
No, I like it.
You like it? Okay, so...
The first ever Cheer Bomb t-shirt design.
And we did 2 orders of them, and we're down to our last... a few hundred, and I have to send them out to, there's one person in February already that I've awarded a shirt to, and there's a giveaway that's being done in Australia that I owe 3 shirts to, and then I owe shirts to everyone who's been on the show this season.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I think we're going to sell the rest. What do you think?
I'm down.
And they won't be duplicated again. We'll do a new shirt.
So these are exclusive.
They are exclusive. They're limited sizes.
super exclusive.
super exclusive. And so if you want one of the first edition, that's the word I was looking for. First edition. Cheer Bomb shirts.
Googling synonyms and stuff. And that was not one of them.
But that's, you know, I haven't figured out how we're selling them. Like I have to put something up on the website to... you know, receive payment. I'll be doing the shipping. There's no drop shipping. So, but yeah, that's be on the lookout for that. If you're interested, after I think this week, those shirts will be for sale and gone. And then we'll start with our Series 2 shirts.
Support your favorite podcast.
Yay. All right. So how are you doing?
How am I doing?
You're doing pretty well. You got, is it 4? 4 teams?
Yeah.
4-4-4. Tell them.
Yeah, it was really exciting. All 4 of the Summit, D2 Summit eligible teams at our gym are going.
You're going to Disney.
Got a bid to go to Summit, so that's super exciting. Our senior 2 got it. Towards the beginning of the season, one of the first 2 competitions, and then last weekend in Raleigh at Sweetheart Classic.
And I
3 others. We took all the...
So the whole gym's going.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I knew, I mean, obviously I knew from my personal social media because I'm friends with quite a few people from the gym.
Yes.
So I knew it was happening. I also got hit up for sponsorship. Tootsuite. By multiple people. I sponsored last year. Sponsored, I think, the last 2 years. So so that's how I was like, oh, I have our topic for this week, which is fundraising. Last week I made a call out, you know, anyone who has an expert in fundraising.
Yeah.
And then I was like, thinking about this, I'm not sure, saying I'm an expert, but I have 20 years experience of doing it for multiple organizations, including the Girl Scouts, which are, you know how to do it if you're eating Girl Scout cookies. I've done that for, I think, over...
Yeah, how old is Heather?
Over a decade.
Almost 16, 17?
Yeah, she's 17 in a couple days.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, when my son was in all his sports and, you know, Lola herself with cheerleading. So I do have some input to give on fundraising. So I thought... that would be a cute little intro topic to discuss.
Let's do it.
This is me, myself, and I, my personal views on fundraising over the years. This is not scientific. first one is the attitude. If the attitude of, and this is universal, this isn't speaking about any particular team or any particular sport or any, I have fundraised for schools, I have fundraised for nonprofits, I have fundraised for a lot. So, I was making note of what the differences are for a successful fundraising event
mm-hmm.
and times that have not been successful. The one is the attitude. Whoever's running the fundraising, if they have a positive attitude, it makes a huge difference.
I feel that, absolutely.
If you go into it and the person who's in charge, and I hate to be this way, but it's true. If they come in with a negative attitude, if they come in and within like the first 10 sentences is saying crap about the people that ran it last year, I already know, this is how it's going to go. But if the current person comes in, positive attitude, looking forward, not looking back, and just making it as easy and fun as it could be, the experience just goes by so much better.
Absolutely. That makes sense.
So whoever's in charge, and that always kind of rotates, it's attitude. You are literally, if you have a, sometimes negative people don't know they have a negative attitude.
Nope.
But if you're coming into it with like, this is a huge hardship, you're never going to make it. Woe is me. Why am I in charge? That's pretty much the way it's going to go for you, is my advice. Two is clarity. Know exactly how much you're fundraising for. Have that elevator pitch ready. When that person is even remotely like, what is it for? Know what you're going to say. That's really key. Because so many people go fun, like they just go crazy. Like, oh, I'm going to sell donuts and I'm going to sell shirts and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And we're going to eat this and car wash, and that's a lot of energy going out to a lot of different ways to do things. If the committee or however a team does it has clarity, like this is how much we need, boom, you need to be really clear on this. These are all, this is the elevator pitch that we all know. And that elevator pitch can't just be generic every year. It can't be like, it's a once in a lifetime event for... These businesses get hit up all the time.
Yeah.
So you have to be clear. Get clarity on what your message is. This is a big one. This is universal. This is personal, too. At the end of the season, or at the end of this fundraising period, if whomever gave you a penny does not receive a thank you, do not hit them up next month or next year. It's a huge no-no.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I know I have a personal rule. I have so much money I give away. If I didn't get a thank you, you're not getting my money the next year. It's as plain and simple as that. And I don't fundraise for anyone again if I find out that, sponsors and stuff have not been given enough gratitude for their time and their effort and their money. And it doesn't have to be expensive. You don't have to do the plaque. You don't have to do, you're going to Disney. Take a couple pictures, throw a video together, big thank you. There's infinite creative ways to let a sponsor know that you are grateful for their money. But if you don't do it, don't hit them up next year.
Absolutely.
And then this one I might get a little pushback, but it's universal too. And this, I've seen it in soccer. I have seen it in volleyball. I have seen it in across all sports, which is, the coaches or whoever's in charge kind of wipe their hands. Like, oh, this is the mom's job. It's their job to do the fundraising. It's not.
No.
If you have been in business for longer than 5 years and you have fundraised and you don't have a list of everyone who's donated money to you, the date that you sent them the thank you, how much they gave you, then you are doing a disservice for your organization, because that data is gold.
Yes.
If you had kept a list of everyone who's given money to your organization for the duration of as long as you've been in business, you have a gold mine. Doesn't mean that they're going to give you business every year, but it means you can say, oh, Harry Shoeshine gave $100 in 2011. We haven't, he hasn't given since, but it's been 5 years. Let's try, again.
Yeah.
That's not something you give to a position that's rotating every year. And that's what the moms do, because the moms are dependent on who's on the team, right? Or who's in charge of booster. That's a rotating position. So that belongs with the head of the organization. because that's your business.
Yes.
That's not, and I'm going to say that this is universal. I'm thinking of a specific baseball coach. He wanted nothing to do with fundraising. He was like, this is the mom's problem. No, it ended up being his problem. So,
but that makes absolute sense.
Yeah. And I understand the initiative of an organization saying, I don't want to deal with it. You know, my thing is getting them there. And I got them there with a bid. Now it's the parent. No, the parents already pay a lot.
Yeah.
This is everyone has to come to the table with a positive attitude to make it happen effortlessly. And I've been in cheer. I've been in other organizations where I can tell you fundraising happens effortlessly. And it's not this like bumping my head trying to ask for money. I've also had that too. But again, I could probably point to reasons why that. So that's my non-expert advice on fundraising. But the vibe, I know it sounds hokey and corny. It's true.
No, that makes absolute sense, though.
I mean, I remember when I was on Senior Elite, we fundraised for that team.
Elite Raise.
Elite Raise, sorry. They, it was just such a joy to do with that team. It was, you know, none of us were... It was a great experience.
Absolutely. And like, I remember like seeing videos and pictures, and it looks like everyone was having like a good time.
Yeah. And the attitude that you take into something is so important. It's a vibe.
Absolutely.
And if your vibe is like, oh my God, poor me. Oh my God, I'm doing all this work.
That's the wrong mindset, period.
That's the energy you're creating around that fundraising experience. So that's all I got to say.
No, that's awesome.
I bet our guest might have some positive advice about...
Oh, he has positive energy all the way around. So we got the pleasure of talking to one of my old coaches and friends, Jamian Small. He's working at Woodlands Elite now, so...
Here, that's Carolyn Days.
Yeah. Yeah, so here we go. All right, so I'm really excited about this. I've had the pleasure of him being my coach. We have world champion choreographer Jamian Small. He's worked with teams or gyms like Star Athletics, New Jersey, Cheer Extreme, World Cup, Top Gun, and is now the creative director for Woodlands Elite, all locations. This is so cool. Welcome. Hey, Jamian.
Hey, hey, what's going on?
How you doing?
I'm doing well. Just, you know, getting ready to start my day, get everything together.
Nice, nice.
I have to start with the first question. I have to.
Yes.
Because I think everyone that you coach now will want to know the answer to this. What was it like coaching Marcus?
Oh, gosh.
You know what? You It is very, very rare, okay, that nowadays I feel like that you find a lot of kids that you have a connection to. And I feel like Marcus was one of those gems, you know, like if you tell him to do something, he was going to do it, and he was going to do it 100%. Plus more, you know.
I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah, not only that, I mean, like the fact that, you know, he was so committed to drive that far from Wilmington, you know, all the way to Raleigh.
Yeah.
For that long, you know. That says something in itself.
Yeah, you were one of the. Yeah. That's why you have a podcast now about cheerleading, Marcus, because you were one of those people.
Exactly. Like just the love and the passion for it, and that reminds me a lot of like how I started. You know, like. Eat, sleep, and breathe cheer was like all I did when I first started.
Well, tell us how you start. Tell us everything about you and cheerleading.
From the very beginning.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, I started cheerleading. Oh, God. Now I'm about to show my age. In 1996 is when I actually started cheerleading. It's very interesting. I was always so interested in the body movement of your body flipping over. I always wanted to learn how to flip. So, like, I started in gymnastics for, like, a year, and I hated it because, of course, they had you doing splits and cartwheels. And, you know, me being that boy, I was like, I just want to learn how to flip, man. So, my parents got me a trampoline for Christmas, and I just started doing backflips on the trampoline, and I just got brave, and I was like, I'm going to try it on the floor. So originally, when I tried out for cheerleading, I was going to become the mascot of the Brogdon Dragons. Girl, I was about to be dressed up as a dragon. Looking crazy as a dragon. So anyway, I tried out, and then the coach there, her name was Amber Klein. I still remember her to today. She is freaking awesome. She was like, you know, you should just try to cheer. And I'm like, oh God, okay. So at first I was like, okay, this is going to be kind of weird. I mean, I had always picked up on like music videos back in the day, you know, TLC. Mm-hmm. Kids today would never, would never know.
Wait. What's that song? I'm too proud to beg. I'm not too
ain't
proud.
Too proud. Ain't too proud to beg.
Yay. That was my college anthem.
Yes. So, you know, I was always like making up things, and I was always interested, and I would watch like, I don't know if you guys have heard of like the CIAA. My parents went to North Carolina Central University. So we used to always go to the basketball games, and I would watch, and then A&T had boys out there, and I was kind of like, okay, well, you know what? Let's just try it. This could be something kind of cool. I ended up trying out, and I ended up being on the cheer team there. And Amber Klein, actually, we used to go to Spirit Express back in the day. And that's when, you know, UNC Chapel Hill was they're still great, but they were at that time very prestige in the cheerleading competition industry, you know. Mm-hmm. I just ended up cheering there. And so I started there. And then in 1998, Marcus Walker came and became the coach. And then he started Cheer Carolina All-Stars. And I started getting into All-Stars. And it just kind of went from there. Eventually, it was weird. I was one of those kids that, you know, after a while, I wanted everything to be so perfect when I tumbled. So it took me like a year to get every skill. And I always think about that. And I'm like, okay. When I was in ninth grade, I got my full. When I was in 10th grade, I got a whip through the full. When I was in 11th grade, I finally started working on doubles. And when I was in 12th grade, I finally got a freaking double. But we had, you know, but these kids don't understand today. We had hard floor, honey.
Okay.
Okay.
Don't get it.
I'm doing three to doubles on the hard floor.
On hard. They don't get it.
No, but right. I still think it's an incredibly valid point about how long it took you to get a skill, because everyone's so different. I know that there's some kids who get everything so instantly and they're blessed, but a lot of kids also take their time. I know someone who's like that, who's like a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And has to, like, you know, you want... I think that's great, because I think a lot of cheerleaders would relate to that.
A standing full, like, I didn't even get a standing full until, and I mean, I guess it wasn't really popular when I cheered, you know, it really wasn't. Standing fulls were not like how they are now. And you look at generals who has, you know, 12 or 13 standing fulls, like for me.
I can really tell you, I want him on whatever that, you know how I keep saying I want someone to do a behind the scenes of cheerleading, like,
yes,
teach me the past, mm-hmm, like what it was, mm-hmm, like. I want him to be on it.
Done.
Like he has to be interviewed. Like,
we can go to Texas.
Okay, I'm sorry. I have this dream. Do you remember that show Behind the Music on VH1 a long time ago? I'm begging for someone to do a cheerleading version of that. Like, if you walk into cheerleading today, you don't know any of this from the past, and I want to know it.
Like, that's the thing. A lot of the kids now, and I look at it and I'm like, they have no clue, like, how much cheerleading has changed. Like, if you look at the generation of it, I mean, even what you look at what the flyer motions do in the air now. And that's one thing I can say as a choreographer for me, I have to learn how to adapt to that change. If I was going to choreograph the way that I choreographed in 2003 or 2006, 2010, it would not be relevant today. So I've had to, you know, in a lot of ways, study, you know, I don't study just cheer. You know, I'll watch, you know, the Broadway dance, Millennium dance. I'll watch all these things to entice my brain to do different things, because I feel like it has evolved so much. If you look at 2010, you know, a lot of the dances that I did back when I was at Cheer Extreme, they were very busy, very, very, very busy dances. And if you look at dances now, you know, they kind of tell a different story.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of group, a lot of more group work, a lot of asymmetry. Like, those things are very popular.
Yes.
You know,
We talk about this one topic that we're talking about a lot this season. We've been talking about glam. Like, does the glam of the sport hurt it, mm-hmm, as a sport? you know, thinking about the Olympics and so on, does the hair and the makeup.
Right.
It's not scientifically based, but let's say it's like 90%.
Tommy Higgins.
Sorry, that's my phone. The 90% of the current cheerleading market wants to keep the glam.
Right.
But I, in my head, and I haven't actually said this, I keep thinking it's like fashion. The fashion of cheerleading, I can see already a change just in the however many years, four or five years I've been involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's popular now is not necessarily going to, it's going to be dated. I feel like the look right now, or like the last few years, is already starting to get a little dated. Mm-hmm. Like, whoa, I see the scrunchie coming
back.
So what's
next?
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just see so much evolving already.
Oh, no, that's so true. I always say cheerleading is like fashion. That's what, remember when Georgia had that number saying? Cheerleading is like fashion. One day you're in. The next day, you're out.
Yeah.
And it's true. It really has. I mean, and if you look at, like, it's kind of weird. Like, I think about fashion, too. The other day, I was online. This isn't even true and relevant. But I was shopping online, and I got me a pair of overalls. And I was like, overalls aren't supposed to be cute, but these were cute, girl. They were overalls, and they were, like, the sweatpant overalls. I was like, oh, this is going to be cute. This is something different.
Evolution.
And then, same thing. Like Converses, they're back.
They're back. Yep.
I had an old Tommy Hilfiger sweater that an old boyfriend, I'm talking like 20 years ago, post sweater. Mm-hmm. My daughter's now wearing it now, and it's like in right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yesterday, I was teaching a dance to junior four majors. We redid the dance yesterday, and this girl had in a red scrunchie, and I was like, girl, I love your scrunchie. I mean, they're back in.
I love it. You know what I was thinking about the scrunchie? I went back and looked at some videos. Sorry for the back noise. The hair flips that they were able to do with the scrunchie. I felt like it was more. Like, I saw some, like, ooh, you're going to get whiplash. Oh. Like, they were whipping their
because
hair.
Because there wasn't a, like,
because it wasn't, I think, it's a theory. Don't know. I wasn't up there.
Scientific. I see it. I feel
but
it.
But you see
it?
Right. They were just like, woo.
Okay, I mean, look at the trend that Twist and Shout Obsession started. Diamonds. You know, with the skirt.
The skirt, yeah.
And then everybody started getting those skirts, you know?
Yes.
I was like, okay. So... I definitely think that that's something that you just have to keep up with, you know, the things, the trends of everything going on. And, you know, it's just, it's not the same, but there are some things that are coming back, you know.
Everything always comes back. I can't wait. I want to see the first one. Or maybe it's already happened. The neon, you know, the neons from like the neon colors.
Yes.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
It's coming back. I know it. Let me ask you a question. Cause so you have such a rich history, with cheerleading, what do you think about the glam? Do you think it hurts it as a sport? Not as like, should we still do it or not, but what are your views? Do you think it's part of the industry and we accept it, or is it? And you can have a minute to think about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that for the kids, it's something fun for them, you know, rather than them just going out on the floor, they get to put on makeup, they get to actually. I mean, I don't want to say they're drag queens, but it's like putting on a show out there. You know what I'm saying?
It is a performance, absolutely.
You get what I'm saying? It's a performance. They get to be in their act. So I think that that's really fun and really cool. The only thing that I can say about it is sometimes I don't like for it to be too over the top. You know, like I think that there's a thin line between it being glamorous and there's a thin line between it being too much.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Especially for the, you know, the younger kids, you know, I think that there has to be a happy medium. You know, you don't want to, some of the things I choreograph for a senior age team, I will not choreograph for like a youth team, you know, like you have to know.
I amen. That's exactly, because we've been talking about this for a couple episodes now, and I've been thinking about it, and I was like, if I was an architect and could create, you know, the industry the way I wanted, which I'm not, but if I could, the little bitties would be like natural as you know, like they would be little bitties. Their bellies wouldn't be showing. They would just, and then maybe like at 13, they get a little, or 12 or whatever, progress a little more. And then, you know, the 16-year-olds, like we were talking about the 005 Top Gun.
Right.
Then I would be totally comfortable.
Yes.
At 16, whatever, 15. Then,
right.
Like, if there is a progression versus, because the thing is, the truth of the matter is, it is very sexy at an older age. It right. can be. It is. I mean, gosh, uh-huh. just Google it. Put yeah. in cheerleader, and it won't take you too many times to go down.
Yeah. right. We did that last year with the sticker.
Yeah. So
right.
it is a sexualized look or at an older age. And mm-hmm. I think I would be much more comfortable if the industry as a whole made that okay at an older age.
Yes.
And redefined right. what it looked like younger. But that's just yeah. me, just with a podcast.
And that's one of the things, too, that we talk about, like, you know, like I said, I've been doing this since 1996 and, you know, I started choreographing in 2005. So when I really think about it, it's one of those things too, where we think about the way things have changed. So these kids actually have YouTube now. These kids yeah. have Twitter. These kids have, I didn't have that when mm-hmm. I was here.
Thank God. You know, we talked like, about literally, that. Thank like, God.
Girl, we used to show up at the competition and be like, hopefully the competition's ready. You know what I'm saying? We hadn't seen the competition all year. We ain't seen the competition a day before. Nothing. We show up at the competition like, okay, let's go. Let's see. We didn't know if anybody got new uniforms. We didn't know if anybody got. We didn't have music streaming across the. No. You know, like
it's a whole new world.
Everyone
got a CD.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So the kids, the young kids, actually. They get to see that stuff and they want to be it. And I'm like, girl, you got to wait. The summit's out now. You know, they're freaking 9 years old or 11 years old and they're already competing like they're going to worlds, you know. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, I'm like, let's just wait a little bit. Like, I'm against youth teams going to the summit. That's my opinion. I think
oh, really?
I think it should be just junior and senior teams. I think that kids that are youth age that go to the summit, they start getting to that caliber at 8. By the time they are 18 years old, 10 years later, they are burned out, and most of them quit.
That's an interesting point. That's good. That's a really good. That's good information because I've wondered that. Like I know that the youth went to majors this last time, and it was the first time I think.
Juniors, the junior team.
Yeah. But I think that's. I mean, I think that's okay mm-hmm. because in some ways, it's like a situation for. I don't think that a junior five team. This is just my opinion. Should warm up beside a youth one team at the summit. Like to me. That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't give them that whole feeling of getting to that world's caliber. They're almost at a world's caliber, you know, performance level. So for me, in my opinion, I feel like they should be able to warm beside a senior five team at majors, you know? Mm-hmm. But like for a youth team, I just feel that a lot of kids, they get burned out so early and they get that pressure so yeah. early at a young age that I feel like, you know, it should be more fun for them. It should be more fun. They should compete at nationals. They should compete at regionals. I think it should be a fun experience.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. I'm just going to throw that in there. I wholeheartedly yeah. agree. Because I do see, like, I feel, I should say more than see, I feel like there's a pressure sometimes for these younger kids that might, I'm not saying it's coming from the coaches and I'm not saying it's coming from the parents, but I'm kind of saying it's coming from the parents. like kids who are like 10 years old who are stretching hours a day
mm-hmm.
like
mm-hmm.
and they refer to that child as a brand like no that's a child
no that is your baby
so let me ask you oh I'm sorry
yeah, go ahead
no I you could like come be the new host I love you but let me ask you the next question is social media we touched on social media so we've had like right. two episodes we've talked about social media, you know, we had the whole Ryan scandal the last couple weeks and
which was ridiculous. Sorry.
We posted on it, we blogged about it.
Yeah. It's out there.
We've talked right. it to death. But it opened up a greater question about social media and cheerleading. So right. my question to you, because you have, you know, contact with world elite athletes and everything is, do you have a social media policy for your gym, or do you think that we should, because this generation doesn't have an Ann Landers. There's no one out there saying, here are the rules of engagement for proper etiquette uh-huh. on social media. And I think it's time we start figuring this out for the whole generation. And
yeah, because there's been some stuff that has been posted this past week that I've been like, that's the thing. I don't even follow some of the people, and if somebody retweets it and it's a friend of a friend, you still get to see it. And yeah. You're like, mm-hmm. I don't need to see that. Like,
no, exactly. And the anons, yeah. which I always define it as a negative, I not as an anonymous, but mm-hmm. anyone who's right. posting negative stuff anonymously.
Yeah.
Right. The gym here does have that policy. They, you know, that's one thing I can say that's really different here is I think they are very, they're very to their word, you know, and I have not worked for another program since 2010. If you really think about it, I went to Louisiana Cheer Force for a year in 2011. I had my program in 2013, 2015. Other than that, I have not worked for anyone else. I've done choreography since then. You know, I haven't worked for anyone else. So they are very true to their word and what they say they are going to do. That's one thing I can say about Woodlands that I absolutely love.
And what's the policy? Because I, you know, we had Caroline Day on last season.
Yeah.
And she's lovely.
Love her.
Love her. Love her parents. Love her sister. Everyone's.
Oh, that family is amazing.
Oh my God. They're like, they're like the picture of that you see at JC. Or not JCPenney, any store with the in the frame, you know, that, yeah. that perfect family.
The stock photos.
Oh, yeah. And it's completely authentic. That's the best thing about it.
So what is the policy there? Because I'm looking for best practices to share amongst the whole industry. Like, what's the social media policy for a world-renowned gym? Is that a good question?
Yeah, well, they are against the whole Anon thing, for sure. Like, no anonymous accounts. You know, if you're going to post on there, it has to be things that are positive. I know for me, for coaches personally, you know, some of us have our own personal, you know, social media. And then we have a social media for the kids as well, you mm-hmm. know, kind
yeah.
of thing.
Oh,
so
yeah, yeah.
I think.
Oh, that makes sense. That's yeah. a good
yeah,
idea.
Just trying to separate it. I know, like for me, for example, I have my, you know, my cheerleading Instagram, which I post a lot of cheer and things like that. But then I'm also very big into fitness. And to me, I feel like that's separate. That's a separate part of me that I'm really like interested in, you know? So I have a different account for that.
You know,
does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. You know who needs a second account? TJ.
Oh my gosh.
Do you know TJ? What's his
Smith.
Smith?
Yeah, you know TJ, Jamie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he needs uh-huh. he needs a kid friendly Instagram. love you, TJ.
yeah, he needs to switch it up a little bit. And that's the thing. And then, like, my, like, Snapchat for me is not for the kids. I always say it. That's not for the kids. That's for me and my friends. That's, like, the one place where I can actually be myself.
Yeah.
And I make sure of that. I'm like, no kids there. I just think that, you know, it's no, very important, you know, that you separate the two, because you don't want to get into a situation where somebody says, well, they did this online, they did that online. Like, no, I'm not trying to deal with that. I have so many other things to worry about in my
yes.
life
mm-hmm.
than someone trying to judge me because of a social media or because of their opinion of something on social media. Does that make sense?
No, totally. And like you said yeah. earlier, to your point, that we didn't have this growing up. And I think that's where it's incumbent on us, the older generation, to be like, hey, younger generation, you're guinea pigs. And
right. Well, and, you know, what's really funny, too, is like, they say, this is kind of out of the conversation, but they say that Facebook is for older people mm-hmm. and that Instagram is for the kids. I'd never realized that. So, like, it's really funny because when I actually look at it and I'm like, okay, the response that I get from Facebook, I can post the same thing on Facebook and Instagram. And it'll be people from like high school, my mom's friends, da da da. And then if I do Instagram, it's like, this girl's on this cheer team. This girl's
yeah.
on that cheer
yeah.
team.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Yeah,
like the kids probably don't even know what Facebook is.
I gave up on Snapchat. Don't have it anymore. Won't like jump on it.
No?
I mean, I go on it. If I'm on it, it's to check what my kids are doing or try to like, you know, investigate.
okay.
Instagram.
Sure to,
yeah, Instagram is my favorite, but. Twitter, I get my news from.
Yes, yeah, same.
It's just,
that's where I get my tea from.
Yeah,
Twitter.
Yeah, Facebook right. is my Facebook is me. Like I'm that older generation. Like,
right.
So that is funny.
Yep.
What did you have another?
We can edit that part out. Okay, so Jamie, and being a North Carolina kid, What, like moving to Texas, that's a big jump. What made you make that jump?
Well, it's one of those things where, you know, I was traveling 10 months out of the year, like literally almost on a plane every week. And, you know, I'm 33 going on 34 now. I'm going to tell my age. I don't look like it, though. I look 16. I look fabulous.
Age is but a number.
Age is but a number.
Okay. I look fabulous. That's all I have to say about that. But anyway, it was just one of those situations where I really just wanted to have an apartment for once. You know, I wanted to be able to cook dinner at home. And it's just, I want to be able to meet someone and have someone in my life eventually. And you can't do that when you're on the road all the time. And it was just one of those things where I was like, okay, what can I do and still be involved in the sport that I love, you know, but not have to stretch myself so thin. So when I had talked to Woodlands this past season, I was like, you know, I really am interested in working with your program. They're like, you're not moving. You're not. And I was like, you know what? I've lived in North Carolina my whole life. You know, I can always go to North Carolina and visit my family. They're there. My family's there. My brother's there. My mom, my dad, you know, my cousins are like, my whole family's in North Carolina. I'm the only one not there. And I said, you know, I can always come back to it. So when I talked to them, I said, you know, this is what I want to do. I want to choreograph in June, July, August, September, October, you know, and starting, you know, October-ish and November-ish when the season slows down, I want to be stationary. I don't want to travel as much. And if I do travel, you know, it will be like for people like, for example, I went and worked with Top Gun. Corey Hines is one of my best friends. I'm not going to say no to him. He was there for me.
Yes.
Anna Love, Greensboro All-Star.
Yes.
I'm going to help.
Love her.
Alexis Carter, Sheer Stream, you know, and I'm going to go to these places if I have that time available and it's not going to conflict with what Woodlands has
going on. Well, that's awesome that they worked with you that way, too. That's, you know, we get a lot because we've had quite a few different cheerleaders on who are at different stages in their career and some, you know, kind of leaving or have left competitively, but are still involved in the industry, like Robin Sienna and others. And a common theme is, and you know, we had Patricia Duffy from Inside Cheer who left competitive cheerleading, came back and found a job as a in the industry. Yes. So many people love, like, there's something about cheerleading that the people that love it, they find, like, that. Have you seen that Netflix show where the little Asian ladies like find your spark of joy?
No.
Anyway, I'll put it in the show notes. But anyway, it's about finding your joy. Like people that your life path is something that sparks joy in you. That's the path you should be finding.
Yes.
That, you know.
Right.
Oh, tidying up.
Tidying up.
Okay.
You look at me like I'm crazy.
I was on the news for that.
So I feel like in cheerleading, so many of you all have found that joy. That's what attracts me to it, is that joy that you want, that love and passion. And you'll drive an hour, we'll spend thousands of dollars on our kids doing it, we'll do all the stuff because we love it. We love that 2 minutes and 30 seconds of high energy music, joy. It's a spark of joy. So,
and I feel like everything is an experience too, you know, like, so for me, you know, this year I do feel, and Marcus was like, you're not at majors, you're not at this, and I'm like, girl, no, I'm taking a break. A break right now. But the biggest thing is, you know, I think I came back into it so fast. So like when I got done with choreography, literally, I got done with choreography. I came back here. Like I got my apartment in August here. So I had my apartment, but I was still traveling. Okay. But I figured that it was smart for me to gradually move things in than try to like move everything in at once.
Yeah.
So in November, when I like started really slowing down, is when I really, or not November, but probably October-ish, started jumping back in there. And it just happened so fast. So I told them, I said, you know, it's a learning pattern for next year that, you know, something I have to think about is when I come back into it, not jump back into it so fast. Give me a week. Get myself together and then go, you know?
Yes.
Well, what would your advice be to that 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 year old who's aging out of
29?
Well, aging out of the competitive, you know, cheerleading, but, you know, still wanting to be in the industry
involved.
Yeah. What would advice would you? Because I kind of get that question a lot, and I'm like, follow your joy. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, you know, I feel like when you're passionate about something, naturally, and this is the way that God works, in my opinion, He's going to bless you with some opportunity to be involved in the things that you're passionate about.
If you
work hard to do that.
And yes. If you follow the signs, if you're following that passion. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's good to find, you know, someone that can mentor you. You know, for me, I'm looking for people that, you know, would love to go on choreo jobs to learn and maybe be on this side of the formation while I'm teaching that side of the formation. You know, I think that that's very important because eventually it's going to come to that point where, you know, I'm not going to be relevant in the industry, you know, and I think it's good to teach it to keep it evolving.
You're going to be relevant because we're going to make a documentary and you're going to be all about it.
No, okay. Girl, let's do it, because there is so many things that I have been through my life and learned in this this pattern of success and the pattern of failure. I've learned success and I've learned failure. And I think that makes me who I am, an honest person now, you know?
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. I don't only get it in cheerleading. Like, I get it as older, mostly women in their 40s and 50s who are like, mm-hmm. I don't know what my purpose is, or I don't know what, like, the kids are older, they're growing up, they see,
right.
They look over at their husband and are like, oh, and it's very common, like, what's my part? Like, I just want to, and my advice constantly is, you know, here in America, we've tied money to everything. And mm-hmm. money is not the purpose. Money is just to pay your bills. Money will come. But if you're looking for your purpose or you're looking for a full life, follow the joy.
Yes, absolutely. Follow,
and like you said, I feel that's when the opportunities
You know. Like for me, I feel like I was very blessed and very lucky. You know, I was at Cheer Carolina for those 3 years, had a great coach. I did individuals and people knew me in the area. You know, I won Can-Am, I won Cheer Sport Nationals in individuals. And then my senior year, I just wanted to change. So I went to Impact Athletics, where actually, you know, that's where I met Marcus and everybody mm-hmm. before they came to Cheer Extreme. And then I went to Cheer Extreme in 2006, and I took that risk, and I took that opportunity, and people didn't like me, and they were mad because I left the program I was with.
Really?
That's when Cheer Extreme Raleigh first opened. I was there when the original Cheer Extreme Raleigh opened. I coached the first ever small senior five team there.
The first ever SSX. Like the.
Yep.
Oh my
Can
God. You just
me?
Brought me back, Jamie. And I am dying. If you have any videos of way back then of any of any routines that we had in that gym, please send them to me because.
Oh, I probably do. Probably have something. I'm about to say through iCloud. We didn't have iPhones back then.
No.
That's so funny.
That is.
We didn't have iPhones.
No.
No. No, we didn't.
I need all of. Oh my God. I can't wait to talk to Megan and Darnell about this.
Oh, yeah. It will be great. So, like, for me, it was a great opportunity, you know, to go to Cheer Extreme because honestly, back in the day, and this is my opinion, they lacked choreography. They were great centers. They were pretty decent tumblers, but their choreography to me was a little bit outdated. And so I felt like this is a good opportunity for me to help with the program. You know, this is where I can really, you know, jump in and like make them shine. I was excited about it. And through that, you know, I got nominated for choreographer of the year in 2013. I got nominated in 2012 as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I got my first NCAA jacket. Mm-hmm. Like all these things happen from me just taking a chance and really looking at how I can benefit a program and not how it can benefit me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
I feel that same way here at Woodlands. You know, this year was kind of hard with me jumping in the middle because I was gone all summer. But next year, my goal is, you know, I feel like right now we kind of lack stunning as a program. They can tumble. We can tumble, you know, and that's what they are known for. And they're great tumblers. But now I'm like, oh, I can definitely help with stunning next season, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it because I'm going to make this program shine in that area as well. So it's kind of like I took the things that Cheer Extreme was not great at and made them great at it. Does it make sense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, whatever your gift is, it's obvious through my conversation with you and just having met you that, you know, you were living your dream.
No, literally.
Right.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
I'm going to toss you over to Marcus, who's going to do some rapid fire questions. We just do it with our guests just to share with the audience.
No, no, it's just, I'm nervous.
No, easy. This is going to be so much fun and easy.
It was a pleasure meeting you. I'm
nice
sure
to meet you too.
We will have you back on at some point, or you know, collaborate in some way, because I can just feel the energy, just like
beer bomb party.
Yes. All right, so I'm just going to ask some questions. I just want to hear, like, the first thing that pops in your head, your favorites. We'll start with something. We'll start with some easy stuff.
Okay.
Ready?
Ready.
Favorite food?
Japanese.
Favorite color?
Red.
All-time favorite cheerleading routine?
Panthers 2013.
Yes. Favorite routine that you have put your hand in, that you've been a part of?
Oh, there's so many. I can't really say one.
Let's start listing them.
Okay. I love General's routine this year.
Yes.
I love Small Seniors in 2010.
Yes.
I love Senior Elite in 2010.
Yes.
I love a lot of routines.
Okay. Favorite routine that you have performed in?
Oh my God. I would have to say Cheer Sport in 2000 and girl, what was the year that we combined with Coed Elite?
Yes. Was that 2008?
I don't remember the year. It had to be 2008. Yeah. No, it was
2007. That was my senior
2007.
Year. 2007.
Oh my God. And the crowd and everybody came to yell for us, girl. I felt like I was Beyonce at that moment.
No, because we were.
We literally, like, everybody came and cheered for us.
Oh, my God.
Amazing.
It was so awesome. Okay.
And I threw my standing full for the first time at a competition.
Okay, last one. What are you grateful for?
I am so grateful for friends and family that has stuck by me through everything that, you know, I have accomplished or not accomplished. You know, I'm thankful for actually being blessed enough to share and be honest about a lot of the things that I've experienced. You know, I'm blessed to be healthy, still keep going. I mean, I'm blessed for a lot of things.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. So it was a pleasure meeting you.
This is so great.
You too.
When we started this podcast, like, this is one reason why I was like super excited about, so I can like talk to old friends and like reconnect and bring back like awesome old memories and talk about current stuff. And this is what it's about. This is so exciting. Jamie, and thank you so much for doing this with us.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for reaching out to me. And I mean, I hope that, you know, I gave you everything that you needed to hear.
No, you did.
You did. And if you have any suggestions for guests that you think would, you know, be fun to have on the podcast, send them our way, because we just love it. We just love
yes.
it.
Oh, definitely. I tell you what, right now, if you on Twitter right now, Adrian Butler, I don't know if you've heard of him.
Yes.
From Top Gun. He is amazing and he is so much fun. I have like been following his post. He has me going. If you watch the video of him cheering on Lady Jags, mm-hmm. him dancing in front of the stage, girl, I incorporated that dance move in my choreography this past weekend. I was like, girl, I'm using that move.
All right, this is so much fun. Thank you so much, Jamian.
You're welcome.
Whoop whoop. Oh my God, I loved his energy.
No,
I just loved it.
No, he's always been super energetic, super positive. He's always been someone that I've like looked up to. So
is this, we need to, I know you sent me, TJ's phone number. We need to text him and let him know that we kind of, we shamed his Instagram just a little bit.
Well, his bum's out. His bum's always out.
His bum's always out. I just loved his positive energy.
No, yeah.
And the common thread I see with him and so many of the guests we've had that aren't necessarily cheerleaders right now, mm-hmm. at least, is they're following their dream or their passion.
Yes.
You know? Did you watch that Tidying Up, Follow Your Spark thing?
No, I haven't.
But you've heard.
Yes.
That's what I feel like when I see these people flying all over the world and doing their thing, is that they're following their dream. They're following that thing that, you know, is telling them this is what you should be doing. And then you could hear it in their voice.
No, yeah.
So,
I'm super proud of him.
Yeah. So, do you feel like you're following your dream?
I do. I've always, y'all know this. I've always wanted I've always loved dancing and I've always loved like performing, and I did that up until like I wasn't able to, and now I get to like teach dances.
I still think you should do those videos. we posted this video, this guy, I don't know his name, but he does these great dance videos. They're 30 seconds long. He plays them to music and then text comes out. They're mm-hmm. like very motivational.
Yes.
I think you should so do that. Yeah. I feel like I'm definitely following my my passions, which is new. It wasn't like I've done that for, you know, most of my life. What I think is hard for a lot of people is, so when I was around, I want to say 16, I made a very conscious decision to quit dance. Like, I remember I was going into 10th grade, and it was just this decision, like, okay, you're not going to be a prima ballerina. Maybe you'll get in the Corps. Maybe, you know, make $18,000 a year. And I knew that that's not what I wanted. So I was like, okay, I need to focus on school. I need to get into college, and I'm going to do this thing, do the 9-to-5 thing. And I look back now, obviously everything in my life has led me to this moment, so I don't regret it. But I remember now I think back and I'm like, no one has ever told me to follow my dreams. Like, I'm first generation American, so that wasn't that wasn't part of our conversation. It was like, you know,
really?
No, it was more, I don't even know if I was raised to have dreams. It was more to survive. Oh. You know, I'm one generation removed from that caravan.
Yeah.
Walking up. I'm not, and that's not even a joke. Literally, my mom's from Honduras, she's one of 12, or was one of 12 kids. I'm one generation removed from extreme poverty. So, I'm not saying this as a diss towards my mom or my parent, you know, it was just not part of my conversation.
Yeah.
This younger generation, I feel, it is so part of their conversation. Mm-hmm. It's not so just like get to college and go. It's even I interview people for like one of the companies I work for, and I get such a chuckle because when I was in my 30s and I interviewed for a position, the phrase life work balance didn't even exist. Like, no one was going to care. Like, I would never have thought to go into an interview and be like, one of my most important things was that I have life work balance. It'd be like, how much you pay me? What are my benefits? But now the younger kids are like, I want a complete life. I want work and life balance. I don't want to be chained to mm-hmm. a desk job. I hear a lot, like, I don't want to live my parents' life. Nope. So that's just interesting. And I see a lot of that in the cheerleading world. I see a lot of people, you know what? Let me rephrase that. I see a lot of people on our podcast who feel like they're living their dream. I don't know.
That's just, I would say in the industry too.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
I mean, they wouldn't be.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be doing it if not. If they know Office Shop, like, we get to hang out with like the coolest people ever. And we get to travel. That's it. That's a dream itself. That's one of my favorite parts, like being able to like travel and see places.
You know, people get so strung up on salaries with this whole work-life balance thing. You know, people will be like, well, if I get this much vacation, you know, they like renegotiate in a way that I'm not used to. I'm used to like 9-to-5, here's my annual salary.
Yeah.
Here's, you know, the younger generation's not like that. They're more like, no, I'm not really feeling this. What's your footprint? Like, oh my God. What's the philosophy of that company?
No.
So it's just interesting. It's interesting how it all kind of ebbs and flows. So next week we have Jimbo. Is it next week or do we have someone before Jimbo?
We have two people in the books. Michaela.
Oh, gosh. I'm so sorry. Yes, Michaela.
Michaela Jenkins.
Your KK.
Yeah, my KK. Yay. Oh.
You want to tell them about that? I'm sorry. That's who is. And then Jimbo's the week after that.
Yeah, Michaela is one of my old girls. And there's a fun story about her.
It's on the podcast.
Joining,
yeah.
Joining and then up through graduating All-Stars. But we'll wait for next week for that. But I'm just super proud of her. I wanted to give her a little shout out for doing what she does, growing up. And like she's like a grown up now, which is so wild to me.
And I'm sorry, because we record these obviously out of sequence. Not out of sequence, but not in the sequence that our audience listens to. Is she the one that educated me on club cheer?
Yes.
Okay. I did not know. I swear, even after that interview, I remember talking to my kid. I did not know that was a thing. It wasn't a thing when I don't think it was a thing when I was in college. I mean, I thought of cheerleaders in college.
I think eventually, like, people kind of got smart. And they're like, well, if they're not letting the like, sideline team cheer or go to competitions, then we can still make it a club. So here we go.
If you have, for the parents out there, if you have this idea that your kid is still going to cheer in college, this is a good interview to listen to because you get kind of an insight of what that looks like. And then after that, we have Jimbo.
Yes.
Yay. So excited.
Yes.
All right. Well, congratulations to you and the Cheer Infinity team.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We're super excited.
4 out of 4. That's amazing.
And that gave me really good tips on fundraising because
it's all about the attitude.
Yeah.
And someone has to keep track of that monster list.
Yes.
There needs to be a monster list. Just an Excel sheet. Real simple. Name, date, amount, what team it went to, and did they get a thank you? That's all you need. All right. Well, thank you again, everyone, for listening. New listeners, thank you. Please check out our Amazon store.
Yes.
So you know the purchases on that store and now the purchases of our Series 1 t-shirts solely go into the production of the podcast and us being able to ship said shirts. So this week's product, I believe, is going to be the cheerleading Monopoly board. So, yeah, there's a cheerleading Monopoly board. I don't have one, so I don't know what it looks like. But if you have a little one with a birthday coming up, or you want to start early on your Christmas shopping and put it away.
Super early.
Super early. Some people do. I bet a lot of cheer moms do, too, because there are a lot of super uber organized women in cheerleading. So don't mock that. I'm not that way. No. I'm a week before.
Same.
But now I'm a month before. But yes, the cheerleading Monopoly board is what we're going to highlight in the show notes. So make sure to sign up for our show notes on our website. And we will see you next week.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Hey there. This is Sean, the producer guy. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And while Marcus and Marisol cheer you on, please cheer them on by checking out the Cheer Bomb podcast on Facebook and Instagram. Or better yet, share this podcast. Have a great week.
Cheer Bomb. We are strong. We are powerful. We are cheerleaders.
Hurry into Old Navy. One day only, today. Get 50% off all sweaters for the family, including all cozy crew necks and fabulous Fair Isles. Hurry, it's just one day only, today, at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Hurry, ends tonight. Valid 2/18, excludes in-store clearance.